Going. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Planning Commission meeting of the City of South Jordan for Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. We would like to welcome everyone this evening. We have all five serving members of the Planning Commission present. We do have a vacancy on the commission, so any member, I might get corrected during our staff reports, but if there's not been an applicant, it's the citywide position. And so we are a fun group to work with. So if you are interested and are a legal resident of the City of South Jordan, feel free to apply. And we also want to acknowledge on my left, audience right, the City Clerk's Office, Planning Department, Legal, City Attorneys. And on my right, audience left, we have Engineering, Planning, GIS, and we have our IT team as well. And we want to welcome all of you residents of the city and young men of a one of our commissioners here for being here this evening, and Councilmember Johnson. So thank you for being here. And hopefully, if you're needing your community service hours, this fulfills that requirement. And we want to thank the rest of you who aren't quite as young men as these other young men, but thank you for being here this evening. So we'll just jump into, we have a published agenda. There are printed copies by the door. And if you came in, hopefully you signed in as well. But our first item on our agenda is item B, the motion to approve the agenda. I have not been told of any changes to the agenda.
Chair, I move that we approve our agenda as published.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Hollis, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. So that motion passes 5 in favor. Our next is item C. Item C, one, the approval of the minutes from the February 10th, 2026 Planning Commission meeting. I know Commissioners Harding and Hollis were excused from that meeting, so the gentleman to my right and myself were present. Hopefully you had a chance to review the recording. Any changes, additions to our really quick meeting on that? If not, I'll open to a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion that we approve the February 10th, 2026 Planning Commission meeting minutes.
And I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Farnsworth, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 And any against, any abstentions? So we three in favor with two abstentions. So that motion passes 3 in favor. Thank you, ladies, for that. And item D, our staff business. I'm going to turn to my left, audience right, and Mr. Priest or Mr. Schindler, Mr. Simonson. Anything you'd like to share with us this evening?
No.
We do have one applicant.
Oh, we do have an applicant.
The mayor's been pretty busy with
The legislature, right. So she probably won't look at it till after that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But hey, that ends March 6th, I believe, the legislative session. So, and of course, we looked at updates on that too, anything that might affect us and our role here on the Planning Commission working with the city staff.
Oh, yeah.
I think I know of a couple bills.
I don't know that we have enough time, but yeah, there's plenty of things that would, but don't, probably most of them haven't passed yet. So once they do, then we'll let you know.
And if you notice, I'm trying to move it along tonight because I believe there's another big political governmental event occurring here in half an hour. So hopefully so people can partake in that on any major news station. Mr. Schindler or Mr. Simonson, I said no. To my right, audience left. Okay. Jump into comments from Planning Commission members. I'll look ladies first. Anything that you know, John? Gentlemen to my right. Okay. Just our next meeting is the second Tuesday of March. Everyone be available that evening? I think it's the 10th?
10th.
Okay, great. All right. We have no items under our sections F or G, our summary action or action. So let's jump into the agenda. So we do have three items this evening. We have one administrative public hearing item and two legislative public hearing items. Just to go over the process, so staff has published a report that was noticed with this available online. They will, when we introduce the item, they will come forward to the microphone and give an overview of that item. The commission will ask staff any questions we may have at that time. Following that, we will invite the applicant to come forward to give any testimony they would like to give on their application, anything they'd like to add. Following, we may ask the applicant some questions. Following that, we will invite the general public. So any member who is present here in the council chambers can come forward to the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and you will have up to 3 minutes. And we have a clock, and you have a clock, and when it turns red, then your time's up. And then we will not directly answer any questions you ask. We are taking notes. And then following all public comments, we will address any citizen comments that may be raised that are pertinent to the item. Following that, we will have a discussion amongst the commission leading to a motion. Administrative public hearing items, we, the Planning Commission, are the final body, so this is the final step for that one item this evening. And for the two legislative public hearing items, we are a recommending body to the City Council. So we will make a motion to either recommend a positive or negative approval for those items to the City Council, and then those will be heard separately by the City Council, in which they, as the elected officials, will make the final decision on those items. So that's kind of how our process will work. I kind of will go over all of those. So with administrative public hearings, we have one this evening, item H1, the Autumn Ridge Dental Site Plan for property located at 9828 South Temple Drive. The applicant is Dr. Shea Bass, and Mr. Aguilera will be presenting us this item this evening. Miguel, the time is yours.
Thank you, Commissioners. So this is the Autumn Ridge Dental Site Plan. You may have seen this before as a rezone. It was called the Best Dental Rezone. So this is what the zoning layer now looks like. So the applicant is intending to construct his dental business or relocate his dental business here to this site. The development agreement that was provided to you kind of provided some predictability to how the site would be developed. And the site plan generally follows the concept plan provided in that agreement with some modifications, mainly to do with the parking lot, how it was designed, the landscape buffers, and those types of details were sorted out in this review so that they meet city code in the office zone. The one building will be located on the southeast corner of the lot. It will only be one building, one story. The uses will have to comply with the uses limited in the agreement. There will be 33 parking stalls on site, which is 6 more than they're required. They're required 27 based on their floor area. And their one entrance, which I'm not sure what this is. There we go. Sorry about that. Their one entrance will be directly across from Costello Court into the parking lot. And this is their provided landscape plan. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the application.
Great, thank you, Miguel. Before I open up to the commission, I just wanted to make note into the beginning. For anybody who is joining us online, we may be experiencing some technical difficulties. We just want to give you a heads up. If that does happen, you might have to just join back into the Zoom call. For those here in the chambers and for our recording, there should be no interruption. But if anybody who has joined us virtually, I'm not sure if there are, I just wanted to let you guys know. In case there's a hiccup, we apologize in advance, and our IT staff is aware of that on that. So sorry to interrupt that real quick, Miguel, but I forgot to make that at the beginning. So any questions for staff? Ms. Harding.
Is that entrance in and an out? It kind of seems narrow. I just want to confirm that.
I do believe it is an in and an out, but I think Jeremy can confirm.
Like two cars can be passing at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeremy, is it right in, right out, or is it both directions, right, left in, right, left out?
Full access.
Full access.
Yeah, it's full access. And yeah, there is adequate space there for cars to pull in and out.
Okay. And just for the staff report, all aspects of city code and of the development agreement has been satisfied. Per your review, I believe I saw from the staff report, they had to make a couple of revisions from their initial submission, but those have been
right, mainly to do with the landscape buffers along Shields Lane and the north property line that borders the gas company. That originally didn't meet the city code, so they had to edit that to make sure it was 10 feet on the north side and minimum 10 feet and a minimum of 20 feet along Shields Lane.
And you did mention that it is right now over parks, six spaces over the minimum, 33 versus the 27 minimum.
Right. They do have a little bit more parking spaces than they are required by the code.
And if the applicant is present, then I may ask him what are the anticipated actual, because we did receive one, which I, in the public comment, one email prior, which addressed some parking concerns. And maybe for Jeremy, do you see any concerns with, if there happened to be any street parking along Shields Lane? Either on the south side or north side of the road. I know there's a parking strip. It's a bike lane because it's one of our bike routes. Any concerns if there happened to be overflow onto Shields Lane or on Temple Drive?
It would need to be there's not, as I recall, there's not enough wide enough shoulder there for cars to park on Shields Lane. So yeah, that we wouldn't allow that. And also, per state law, they shouldn't be parking in bike lanes. So.
Okay, perfect. Okay, Ms. Hardy.
What was decided for the fence?
So the city council, when they approved the agreement, they had the option in the agreement that was written that if the applicant could agree with the gas company to have them landscape their property, they wouldn't have to install a masonry fence there. It resulted that Shea Best couldn't agree with the, or the gas company didn't agree with Shea Best to landscape that property, so that that turned out to have him be required to have a masonry wall there. Okay. So they will be required to put a masonry wall across that entire northern property line.
Okay. And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And then on that property, will there be access further up on Shields Lane to access their property? Like another in and out on that property after the curve or no?
For this specific property for the dental site?
No, the gas company. Company, yeah.
It doesn't... I don't think so, and there wasn't any proposal in this application for them to include any sort of access from that side. It wouldn't be allowed, I think, because they would have to have the masonry wall there, and it's the gas company's property. I don't know that they would have another access permitted there.
All right.
Anything else for staff at this point? Okay, thank you, Miguel. Is Dr. Best or one of his representatives present here this evening? Would you like to come forward, Dr. Best or the applicant? Mr. Naylor, are you the applicant?
No, I'm Russ Naylor from Nichols Naylor Architects. Okay. We're the architects for the project. Actually, my son was the project architect, but it's his 50th birthday today, so I'm a stand-in. We've been working on this project for, I think, probably 2 years. He originally purchased a part of the property from the city and part of the property from the water district. And obviously there were a lot of legal issues related to the city's code about having to be so far away from, you know, the well and having drugs and so forth related to the dental practice. So we're finally here, and not at your issue, but we had some real difficulties getting the civil engineer pulled along with us, and he has a requirement to vacate his existing office the 1st of October of this year, and at least at this point, there's no way we're going to get his building constructed in time, so hopefully he's worked out something so that he can stay where he's at for a few more months. But... it's been an interesting property with all the issues that have arisen related to, you know, the location and Shields Lane and access and so forth. To answer your question, Commissioner Harding, I mean, the gas company will still have access, you know, tied against the north property line from both Shields Lane on the east or on the west and from Temple Drive on the east, you know, onto their right of way. So we're not anticipating, nor have we been asked to provide any access off of the dental, you know, off to the doctor's property to get to, you know, and I've found from this project and other projects that the new gas company is not good to work with and not willing to cooperate. I mean, we were more than happy to landscape, their gas easement rather than do the masonry wall, but... they had absolutely no interest, nor did they think that they would. We initially had asked if they'd let us park on it, and they told us no on that as well. So anyway, other than that, I'm sure you've seen the elevations. It did come to the ARC committee, and the general comment was that they were okay with what we were proposing for materials and the architectural design. It is a pretty contemporary building. You know, my preference would have been to make it look more like the houses across the street, but, you know, we have to try to satisfy our clients. So anyway, and if you have any questions, I would certainly attempt to answer those or get the answers for you.
Great, thank you, Mr. Naylor. Any questions for the applicant?
I do.
This hall.
So can you confirm it's a one-story building? I know it is.
Yeah. There are, it, you know, it has some different slopes on the roof, and there is a section of that's lower than, but yeah, it's just a one-story building.
Anything else for the applicant? Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Naylor, for being here.
Thank you.
We all thank you for your service on our committee and your past service for the city. At this point, we're going to open this portion of the meeting to the general public. Before I invite you to the floor, we did receive one email regarding this item. Sorry, I'm going to find it here. From a Vivian Wilson that was received yesterday to the planning department and was passed on to the commissioners and with concerns just about this, the parking, which I asked our city engineer about street parking. So at this point, any member of the general public who is here present in the council chambers, public comment is now open. You're free to come forward to the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record. You have up to 3 minutes to give any testimony on this item. Public comment is open. Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment, bring it back to the commission. The last time we heard this item in a rezone, I think it went a couple hours, so this might be a little bit quicker this evening on this item. So again, this is our one administrative public hearing item this evening where we are the final body on this. And so our, I guess, standards of approval, as we, as commissioners know, as long as the city code and the metrics of the development agreement have been satisfied.
I'll make a motion.
Yes, Ms. Harding.
I move that the Planning Commission approves file number PLSPR20250195, the Autumn Ridge Dental Office site plan.
Okay, I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any discussion to the motion? Okay, if not, this will require a roll call vote. So Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Harding?
Yes.
Commissioner Gibb?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
And yes.
That motion passes 5 in favor. So Dr. Bess, I think this is the last step other than getting some permits. So hopefully October, your timing that Mr. Naylor presented will be doable. But thank you for getting to know you guys these last few meetings we've had together. So that concludes our administrative public hearing items. And this will jump us to the legislative public hearing items. We have two this evening, and again, we are a recommending body to the City Council. It's the same process. It's just at the end, we'll be making a motion to recommend to the City Council. So our first item is item I-1, the Park Place Phase 5 Land Use Amendment and Rezone for property located at 11011 South 1055 West. The applicant is Derek Reynolds-Walker, and Mr. Aguilera is also our staff on this item as well. So Miguel, the time is yours.
Thank you, Commissioner. So this is the Park Place Phase 5 Land Use Amendment and Rezone, and it does include a development agreement. It includes two properties. The main property here is where the house currently sits, and the second property is what's currently being acquired by the city. It's in the process of being acquired by the city, and it'll serve as the right-of-way on the north side. This is the current zoning. It is zoned A1. The proposed zoning is single family residential R2.5. And I didn't include a land use map, but it was included in the report, and the proposed land use amendment would be to stable neighborhood. So from this this rezone, the applicant intends to create three separate single family lots. Also extending the right-of-way on the south side further north. That's New Berkshire Lane. It would connect to the north side with that expanded improved area for the right-of-way on that north side that would be worked out between the developer and the city as was stated in the development agreement. The development agreement also does make some minor modifications to the R2.5 zone, specifically on some of the setbacks for the lots. For example, lot 3, the building envelope would be less than ideal if the normal setbacks were followed, the 25 in the front and 25 in the back and 10 on both sides. So they did make some modifications. They're requesting the City Council approve there. And with that, staff is recommending the Planning Commission recommend approval of the application.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aguilera. Any questions for staff? Ms. Harding.
So which direction would the homes face? What would the address actually be with that new road? And I notice it ends, but is it planning then to connect?
So the new road, New Berkshire Lane in blue, Is that?
Yeah, along the top, the yellow and the red section.
Well, that would be, so on the east side is, I'm not sure who owns that property, but it looks like it's some sort of trail. It's not connected to the road currently. On the west side is 1055, that's where 1055 West ends. And so this would improve on that northern side. I'm not sure exactly what would happen to 1055 West. I'm not sure what engineering has planned for that part. But it, based on the concept, it would connect, flow through.
1055 West there is privately owned. Okay. So I don't know if the city has any plans for that, but this will open up access from the north on that private part of 1055 West for those residents to go south through New Berkshire Lane to go out onto Jordan River Drive and then go over to River Heights, not River Heights, but Riverfront Parkway, and have a quicker access out to 114 South for those residents. I guess there is, and or to go to Lifetime Fitness or whatever is over there. But the going northbound probably wouldn't save anybody's time in the existing subdivision or this amendment to, or this addition to go northbound to get to South Jordan Parkway, because it's still faster to go over to Riverfront Parkway and because the speed limit is higher and it's a double wide road, so it's much quicker that way. But that's until that portion of 1055 West ever becomes public, the city has no plans for it unless somehow it does. But.
Thank you. So familiarize me with the red section. And then the piece that comes down like that, is that anticipating that's the driveway to both locations or?
The piece in blue?
No, yeah. It's the other, the little, the hammerhead there.
Oh, so that would be for emergency access?
Emergency
mainly?
It's a turnaround for fire if they have to come down there, emergency. Mm-hmm. Vehicles can back in and then go back out.
Okay.
And for garbage pickup.
Yeah, for garbage. Yeah.
Thank you.
Does the development agreement make it clear that there still needs to be a pedestrian or biking access to the Beckstead Canal Trail at the end of this road? Or can they fence that off?
I'm not sure because the... That property doesn't.
It doesn't know, Jeremy. Now.
On that piece of road that's
on the east at the end of
that the city's purchasing, so it'll belong to the city. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll all belong to the city. Now, whether the development's actually going to connect, like physically connect the trail, there may be a slight gap in the trail from the trail that's built by this development that. And then there's the trail that goes north to south that's along the Beckstead Ditch. Mm-hmm. There might be maybe a 10-foot gap, you know, that will need to be connected, but Public Works crews could make that final connection once this is built, once the development is built, if that makes sense.
So the picture that you're showing shows that there is a connection at this time. I'm just asking if that's going to be maintained. The previous picture, there's a dirt connection. It's open on that field to the Beckstead Canal Trail.
Yeah, it looks like there is a physical connection as far as improving on that. It is a separate property, so I think that would have to be worked out with the city.
I'm not asking for it to be approved. I'm hoping to ensure that there will still be access there.
I don't believe it's going to be blocked.
Yeah, no, there's nothing going to block it. It's still open. And so if there's access to it now, it should remain the same because that will be a publicly owned road. And I don't think we're not going to put a fence up to block that off for any reason.
Both these parcels are owned by the city. Yeah.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's good.
Mr. Catmull on this. Okay. Thank you. Same process. We'll say ask some questions after public comment. Is the applicant, Mr. Rillensbacher, or the property owner, Deering Living Trust, present? Please come forward and give us anything you'd like to add.
Yeah, so my name is Derek Rillensbacher. I'm with Bach Homes. We're the applicant for the Park Place Phase 5 subdivision. So just to add some clarification for that trail on the end of that red section on the concept plan, we do not have any intention of blocking that off. The development agreement specifies that we are to construct a 6-foot trail from 1055 all the way to the end of that and connect it to Beckstead Trail. And so we will be doing that. And then that turnaround spot that you guys were referencing, that'll be, we anticipate that being a curb cut with a concrete drive back into it. And so included in the staff report is there's a concept plan that you guys, that we're all just looking at. And with the lot layout, we are proposing, if approved, to construct two new single family homes on lot 2 and 3, with lot 1 remaining as an existing home. And so the CC&Rs for this development be identical to what we did, and because we developed Park Place phases 1 through 4. And so we anticipate putting an equal or greater product here in regards to the single family product that we do build. By extending Berkshire Lane, this project does create a secondary access for lot 1 and also the residents that are along that right of way as well on the west side of the property. And so we feel as if that is a benefit to the city, as if it's providing and improving emergency ingress and egress for the area, especially because that's just one long road going north to south. And so we initially came to the city not planning to connect that, and then after further discussion, it just became apparent that that was the right decision, and it actually created a better feel for the overall community. And so we appreciate the time and the effort that staff has put into this application, the development agreement, as well as the land use amendment. And they've done a great job, and we've appreciated that. And we respectfully request your recommendation for approval to City Council.
Thank you, Mr. Rillensbacher.
Thank you.
Questions for the applicant? Mm-mm. Okay. If there's any public comment, we'll save some time for you afterwards.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, same public comment rules will apply as the previous item. So any member of the general public who is present here in the council chambers, we are opening general public comment now. You have up to 3 minutes and give us your name and address for the public record, but comments are open. So, sir, please.
I'm Milo Tenney. I live at 10937 South, 1055 West. And I guess my only concern is opening up 1055 West to through traffic. That's a road that is very narrow. We have to pull over and wait for people to go back and forth and things like that. So I have some concern about opening that up. Although I admit that when I want to go south, I can zip through that new neighborhood easily. So. But I do think it creates some potential problems with traffic on 1055 West.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kenny.
Can I get you to state your name one more time? I didn't get it.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Milo Tenney.
Hey, is there anyone else present here in the chambers who would like to give testimony on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment, bring in a commission for discussion. Oh, Mr. Simonson.
Let me apologize in advance for the question I'm about to ask my friend Jeremy Nelson. I wish I had caught this sooner, and hopefully it's not a problem, but the included in the packet of materials is a infrastructure analysis prepared by the engineering department. It says along the top there that this is a A1 to an R1.8. Whereas our staff report says it's an A1 to an R2.5. My guess is that the 1.8 is an error, and that we are going for a 2.5. Mm-hmm. But then going beyond that, I just want an assurance that the infrastructure analysis is still valid? My guess is that it is, because it's still only servicing three lots. It says in the first paragraph, the subject property is located at with three proposed residential lots. So I'm guessing that the infrastructure has not analysis has not changed, but I kind of wanted to ask Mr. Nelson about that.
Yeah, good catch. I didn't notice that till you pointed it out, Mr. Simonson. But yeah, that does appear to be an error. But the remainder of the infrastructure analysis still applies.
Thank you, Jeremy, for Mr. Nelson for doing that. Mr. Simonson for bringing that up too, for catching that for us. I guess one question of that, and for the rezone, because 1.8, but our motion it still says 2.5. So I don't think that changes any maybe calculation of what we're considering for the rezone. Does any of the members of the commission disagree with that? I don't think so, but I just open it up. And if not, we did have one public comment, just about 1055 West. From what I've heard, it's going to stay private. So could staff answer for me, where does the public ownership of 1055 West end north of this property? I mean, it goes to the cemetery, I know. So approximately how much further south does 1055 West go from public to private?
Well, according to the city's GIS map, the city owns pretty much to where close to the front of this, the front lot where the house currently exists. The lot that's being acquired by the city that's still owned by River Park LLC, that borders city property, so it looks like that is city land. I think that's where 1055 ends.
Okay, and just so I understand, because this is going to be phase five of a current development that has CCNRs, that means that then this new development is going to be, I guess, under this HOA, it could be a private community, and if they so chose in the future to block or restrict access to their portion of 1055 West, they have that in their authority to do so, correct?
Maybe I can chime in a little bit. 1055 is a pretty complicated road because it's so old. The parcels, there's pieces the city owns, there's pieces that are privately owned. From what I can tell from the parcel map, the only portion that's completely privately owned by a private resident along 1055 is about 500 feet to the north of this of where this road would tie in. The parcels in between, this development and that 500 feet, there's patches that are owned by the city, there's patches that are owned by the resident, and so it's kind of mixed.
And there's easements, I guess, for those neighboring residents to the south to be able to access.
And Mr. Simonson could chime in on this, but I'm sure there's prescribed rights to a certain extent for those that have been using it in the past, so it's just kind of it's kind of complicated, but probably the biggest concern that from an engineering perspective and from a fire perspective is just providing a second access to all of those residents, whether it's privately owned or publicly owned, providing a secondary access is a prudent thing to do.
Okay. And Mr. Simonson, there is probably a prescribed access or neighboring easement agreements, but that would be a private matter if the one individual who owns the private portion were to enforce his private ownership and block from the north and south. There's remedies for the residents around to access their properties.
It sounds like it could keep me fully employed for about a month to analyze the ownership and the history on that. But from everything I know about 1055 West is that it's been a public access has been allowed for many years, and somebody would have a very difficult time challenging that.
Thank you. And because of the complex nature of the ownership of this road, I'm assuming that it would be difficult, and the historic nature, even though it's not a historic road, we've gone through that in the past on the commission, but to modernize the road to current standards, that would be a difficult process or route that's probably not going to occur. Because I dealt with one resident who gave testimony. It's you have to wait for a car, single car, you know, pass. Sometimes you can't get two down. So it's probably a difficulty. And of course, you mentioned the secondary emergency access, probably for our fire and other services.
Yeah, that's correct. And the city did do a pretty significant project, widening and just improving 1055 down to where the King's Landing development is, which is maybe 800 feet north of this development. But yeah, this is kind of that last stretch of road that is in private ownership, so we didn't proceed with that project past that point.
I'll stop. That's all I have. Anything else from the commission?
You need to close.
Oh, sorry, I didn't close public comment. So formally, I need to close public comment, bring it back to the commission for discussion leading to a possible motion. So thank you, Commissioner Hollis, for pointing that, and you have
all right. Questions. I have one comment to address Mr. Simonson's concern. We could certainly make a motion to approve or disapprove with the caveat that we'd like them to ensure that infrastructure study is relevant with the difference in zoning. But in the development agreement, I just wanted to point out on page 84 of our packet, it does indicate in that development agreement that they are rezoning to a 2.5. So that was the intent.
Yeah. Thank you for identifying that. Any other questions from the commission? Mm-mm. Okay, again, we're making a recommendation of approval or denial to the city council. It looks like there are three different things before we make a motion. That there is first part to approve the development agreement. The second would be to amend the land use from agricultural preservation to stable neighborhood. And then the last to rezone from A1 to single family residential R2.5. So I believe we can make all three in a singular motion, or would it be preferable for the city? We wanna make sure what's best for the city for us to make each individual.
I believe you can make them all in one.
So we only have to do it once, if that's preferred by the commission, or if someone has qualms about one item over the other two. If not, if there's no further discussion, open to a motion.
And I'll make the motion, but just to confirm, it is R-2.5. We've confirmed that, okay. I move that the Planning Commission recommends that the City Council approves number one, resolution R2026-04, authorizing the mayor of the city of South Jordan to enter into a development agreement with Bach Land and Development LLC. Number two, resolution R2026-05, amending the land use from agricultural preservation to stable neighborhood. And number three, ordinance 2026-03-Z, rezoning from agricultural A-1 to single family residential R-2.5.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Discussion to the motion. Do we want to reference your comment that the I didn't write down
the infrastructure.
The infrastructure clause was analyzed and needs to be just amended, or is our
just reviewed to ensure that it applies to an R2.5 zone?
Okay, I'm just trying to think. So, would you offer that as a
So I'll motion to
as an amendment or
amend the motion to include that city staff, or I guess specifically engineering, review the infrastructure report associated with this packet to ensure that it's applicable to an R2.5.
Okay. Any discussion to her recommendation? So I will second that amendment. Do you accept the amendment?
I accept
the amendment. And since I seconded the original amendment, okay. So for all the young men here this evening, sorry that was very convoluted, but I think we covered our bases. Any further discussion to the motion? Mm-hmm. If not, this will require a roll call vote. So Ms. Valdez, please.
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge.
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull.
Aye.
Commissioner Farnsworth.
Yes.
Yes.
That motion passes 5 in favor. So thank you to the Bach Group and Mr. Reynolds Bach for being here this evening, and for the attendees for being here this evening as well. And we wish you forward with the City Council. I usually ask, when will this be heard by the City Council?
Next Tuesday, it's on the agenda.
So next Tuesday, if you guys want to come back for round two, next Tuesday at 6:30, same place, we'll save the chairs for you. So thank you for that. Our next legislative public hearing item is item I-2, the personal and professional uses in the MU R&D zone text amendment for property located at 1682 West Reunion Avenue, number 4A, and the applicant is Chloe Judd. And Mr. Aguilera is going 3-for-3 this evening. So Miguel, for the last time, it's up to you.
Thank you, commissioners. So this is a text amendment. The applicant is Chloe Judd. The property that she leases currently is in the zone mixed use research and development, which is just south. It's part of the Merritt Medical area zoning, but this specific property is just south of the main Merritt Medical building along Redwood Road. Currently, personal uses are not permitted by outright or by conditional use in this zone. Personal uses include beauty and barbershops, clothing rental and tailoring, dry cleaning, laundry, massage therapy, portrait photography, tanning, tattoo parlors. She specifically wants to do a beauty salon. So because of that, that's why she applied for this text amendment. With this, staff is proposing to exclude two of those uses, which would be massage therapy and tattoo parlors from being permitted in the MU R&D zone. Additionally, when reviewing this application, staff realized that professional services also technically are not permitted in this zone, and we would like to include professional services to also be a permitted use. So with this text amendment, there would be no conditional uses for professional or personal. By the way, professional uses include law offices, finance, accounting, those types of places. And with that, staff is recommending approval of the application.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aguilar. I'm going to start to my right this time. Any questions for that? Mr. Gatmel.
So, Miguel, oftentimes we'll go to conditional use before permitted if it, well, I can't say we've ever done anything like this, but generally conditional would be here if it thinks that there could be some sort of impact. Could you give us just a little peek into any discussions you had around conditional versus allowing everything to be permitted? And we're using permitted instead of conditional here. Sorry for being so long-winded.
Right, so conditional uses was not an ideal option or route to go for uses allowed under the category of personal uses here. Considering mitigating factors, it would be difficult to come up with those. As far as we looked at those listed uses and personal uses in the uses code, we did find those two that we're wanting to exclude to be probably not ideal in the zone, which is why we would just not make those conditional at all, just exclude them from the specific mixed-use zone.
Okay. And then... my other question, maybe I didn't see it in the timeline. So is this, there was already existing uses that were occurring here?
Yeah, as far...
How did that happen without, was there a business? Usually we've had conversations about this in the past, and usually my understanding is that there's a business license review and people are checked for compatibility with their zones there.
Correct. So... the code has office uses and it also has professional uses, which could overlap. Office uses are more general. It's a broader definition. And because of that, if you look at what's located currently there, there's like tax offices, law firms, a dental office, which could fall under the broad category of office, which is why they would be permitted to be there. But professional services focuses in a little bit, not a whole lot, but it does focus in a little bit more on those specific uses that are described in the report, which is why we think it's a good idea to include them.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Fortune, Ms. Harding, or Ms. Halls? Okay. Maybe this is a question for Mr. Simonson, and I don't mean to open a can of worms, but are there any legal concerns to the city by excluding two specific uses that are allowed under personal services and other areas of the city? I mean, I know we're calling out tattoo and massage and so other concerns by people who might be affiliated with those types of business uses that we are discriminating against them with this type of recommendation to the city council.
No, I don't believe there's a problem there. The legislature, the legislative authority of the city council is enough to meet that.
Yeah, I was just having some conversations with an advisor on that, and that was something I just wanted to make sure, and thank you for answering that. And sorry, the other one escaped my mind. So I'll think about it, and luckily we have a discussion after public comments. So thank you, Miguel. We'll save some time for you. Is the applicant present here this evening? Do you know if they were going to potentially join us online or in the chambers? I haven't heard differently, so.
Yeah, I don't think she's here.
Okay, so we'll open up to the general public. Any member of the general public who would like to give testimony to this item, same role as the previous two items, please approach the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and you have up to 3 minutes. Don't be shy. I don't think you have to be a 18-year-old voting resident, do you?
No, I'd love their insight if they had insight to share.
Okay, seeing that, I will close the public comment. I got it this time and bring it back to the commission for discussion leading to a possible motion. Ms. Hollist.
I do have a question, and there may not be an answer. Why do we have so many differentiations between mixed-use zones? And especially this R&D one, it's very narrow what it allows. And so is it the most straightforward path to alter this particular zone to say, okay, we'll include this additional use, or would it make sense to combine some of these mixed uses?
Maybe. A lot of mixed uses on Redwood Road were approved in 1998 with the Redwood Road mixed use plan. And so there were several different mixed use, like this City Hall is in mixed use community. And then Harmon's is in mixed use city center. And then there's, you know, they had different, and they have, all of them have probably, most of them have certain ones that are all are in all of the zones, but then for some reason, 1998, they eliminated certain ones in different, and it's, nothing's ever changed. There's the only reason that Harmon's can have grocery stores over there is because they were in a mixed, they changed the mixed use to city center from something else. I don't remember what it was, but. Mm-hmm. They did a rezone on that property, but they still used the mixed-use zone. The original thing was to emphasize that the mixed use would be whatever commercial use plus residential. And however, the only residential that turned out to be allowed was at least with third-acre lots. And so there are... So that really didn't pan out to be a mixed use. So, but
and I think you make a good point. It's probably a good discussion for a future general plan amendment.
Yeah, and then the uses section of our code was adopted in 2016, I believe, and so, and since then none of these Redwood Road mixed uses were not added to that section until recently, and then all of them were added into that section. So before, when it was listed as an office use, and then the old definition of the office, as Miguel might have mentioned, that it could include, you know, the personal services like barbershops and beauty salons and so forth. But once it got moved into here, there were separate, we have definitions in the, in section, in Title 1718 that say an under office use that does not include beauty parlors and so forth. So that's, and the applicant did not know that when she leased the property. She's leased two suites and has completed her remodel of those to have, you know, individual suites, rent those out to individuals. And then when she applied for the business license, I had it denied because this wasn't allowed. And so when she was given the option to either, you know, not do it or apply for a zone text change, and we did tell her that staff would recommend in favor of that zone text change because it also will clear up the issues with the CPAs and different accounting firms and lawyers that are already there that are also would be in violation currently.
So I assume Merit Medical was notified. I also assume that this Merit Medical is because of them.
Merit Medical owns the building
okay.
that she's in, so they know. And they didn't get a notice sent to them, but they are the owner, and so there's not 300, no 300 feet, so on this.
Just jumping back on that, I know in a previous meeting earlier this year, you mentioned that we're going to be doing, I guess, combining some of our chapters, you know, 16 and 17 in the code, maybe to a new 18. With a change like this, will this be, I guess, a grandfather permitted use because it'll be an existing? And just how will that be incorporated with these, with this new work that's being done now?
One of the things is we're looking to bring all the definitions from all these different, make one definition so that they are the same throughout the, and so that's something like, but we're not trying to fix too many wrongs with that combination, you know, combining and doing processes and stuff, and then, but it's, as we go through it, it's identifying things that either nobody's applied for, but all of a sudden now it's obvious, and so we're putting those on a list to kind of fix later, but,
Any other further discussion on this item, Mr. Catmull?
So I didn't see it in the staff report. I just may have missed it. How many other acres of property are of this same zone that we may be impacting and opening up some other uses for? I don't remember it being very...
It's very limited. The mixed-use R&D includes the properties that Merit Medical owns, and that's about it.
Okay, I was going to say, it's not a very common zone. Okay, yeah, that helps me understand the blast radius of making a change like this. So thank you.
And just to confirm, there are no current of the two excluded that are being recommended in that current area that we're now excluding anybody who might be potentially doing business as that a tattoo or a massage parlor.
Not in that zone.
Okay, just want to make sure for the record that we're not taking it away from somebody else to give something to someone. Okay. Anything else, Ms. Farmer? Mm-hmm. If not, open to a motion. Again, we're making a recommendation to the City Council on this.
Sorry. Can make a motion, Chair.
Yes, Ms. Hollis.
I move that the Planning Commission recommends that the City Council approve Ordinance 202605. Personal and professional uses in the MU R&D zone text amendment.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Hollis, a second by Commissioner Harding. Any discussion to the motion? If not, this will require a roll call vote. Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Harding?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Farnsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Gibbs. All right, that motion passes. Five in favor. And when will this be heard? I'm assuming when you're saying the timeline, probably pretty soon by the City Council.
It's scheduled for March 17th.
March 17th. So again, if anyone here present would like to hear this item again with the City Council, March 17th. That concludes our published agenda for this evening. So it takes just item J, other business. And this is where we typically ask Mr. Schindler, what is our next meeting look like on March 10th?
Currently, there's just two items, both daybreak.
Well, daybreak. So, Mr. Farnsworth, this time, would you like to, sorry, I pulled back my offer for you to chair today because of the dental office, because of the previous meeting when we had a full chamber. But
better make sure it's not an infill opportunity, though.
Well, yeah, so are you good?
I would be happy to.
Okay, and Ms. Hollis and I will be on both sides to assist you along your way.
Perfect.
Anything else from staff at this juncture? Thank you for all being here this evening, staff. We appreciate it. Anything else from the commissioners?
No, I move that we adjourn.
And we are adjourned. Thank you all for coming this evening. Hopefully that wasn't too painful. And stay out of trouble. That's why you're here for community service.